Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 43. Today is Sunday, April 27th, 2008. Happy Eastern Orthodox Easter. Here we go. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 43, The Fearful. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I am coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. And the music you just heard was the last of our music from the symphonic music from the Rolling Stones, Jumping Jack Flash. And I just want you to go to our homepage, which is www.pastorpaul.org. On the front of the homepage, you're going to see the community of people that we serve. Pastor Paul's mission is a free food distributor to Minnesota's needy. And on the front of our homepage, you're going to see a community of people waiting in line. This was on November 25th, 1993, and they were waiting in line to come through and get groceries for Thanksgiving. So as you can see, the spirit of the mood of everybody was very positive, real excited, anticipating going in. Now, keep in mind that we had had giveaways since 1985 on Easter, Thanksgiving, and Christmas every year. So by this point, we had gone through about 10 years, almost 10 years worth of holiday giveaways. And these were special giveaways that we would give away groceries for the holiday. That was in addition to our regular grocery distribution, which takes place daily. And Pastor Paul's mission distributes free groceries. So it's not a mission where people sleep or anything like that. It's specifically grocery distribution to families, seniors, and people who are disabled. So you'll see people on the homepage. Again, it's www.pastorpaul.org. You'll see people waiting in line, and they are totally excited. And you'll even see Tom Turkey there. So we had someone dress up. Very cool. Everybody's really excited and anticipating getting lots of food. Everybody got a full, huge turkey in their grocery order. And we distributed groceries to about 5,000 people that day. From noon, the doors opened at noon, people started lining up at 7 in the morning. And so the people in the front of the line, you'll see they had been there for a long time. We opened the doors at noon, and by the time 5 o'clock rolled around, everything was completely empty. And what they would do is they would come in through one door, they'd come in downstairs, go through, get their groceries, go out the other door, and then in the parking lot, there was truckloads of food. They would get more food outside. So our holiday giveaways became just infamous. People would tell people about them, and that is really how Pastor Paul's mission has grown through the years to the size that we are right now, is basically word of mouth, people telling people, I know where you can get food if you need it. So anyways, that's all about our homepage right now, is the community of people that we serve. And just wanted to let you know that we are, or I should say, I'm redoing the website. And we're going to feature more bringing communities together. We'd like to bring our online community together with the people that we serve as well. So a lot more about that in the future. Also, you can go to the blog, which is www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com, and that's where you'll find the show notes, and you'll also be able to subscribe to the podcast, so the podcast will come to you. Also, you can call our comment line, which is 1-715-808-0318. If you have a comment, a question, or a suggestion, call me, Janine, at the comment line. Again, that's 1-715-808-0318. Or if you'd rather send me an email, that is janine@pastorpaul.org. You can send me an email as well. The message today, the fearful, is a really good message about fear. And we can all relate to that. So I won't go too much into the message. I just want you to listen for yourselves. It's a really good message. I'll just give you one hint. It's about secret followers of Jesus. So without further ado, here it is, Pastor Paul's message, The Fearful.
Today's tape is entitled, the fearful. We've been looking at faces about the cross for almost 3 months now. And today we're going to look at yet another, the fearful one. Someone that we can all relate to, some more than others. We have those times in our lives when we're very, very fearful. John 19 and 38, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, listen to this, but secretly for fear of the Jews. Not all the faces about the cross were hateful and sinister and unfriendly. Some were full of tenderness and kindness. One of them was Joseph of Arimathea. Over the years, as I've heard different people minister about Joseph, and especially the evangelists, it seemed to me they were always pointing to the upside of him. That he was very highly respected. And it seemed to me that they were genuinely proud of him. And I thought, well, maybe it's because, in the way I read it, I thought, well, hey, there's something lacking here. Like there is in all of us. Maybe it's because there might be some out there that might be offended that had a little bit of money. Well, let's look at these good things that they say about him. He was a man of wealth. God knows we all respect that. And it says in the Bible that the poor among you will be what? Despised. I never really knew what that meant until I got down here into the ghetto. The poor among you will be despised. People won't want anything to do with them. No. They'd want nothing to do with the poor. And so he was a man of wealth. Now, I'm sure they were aware that that didn't make a whole lot of difference. Didn't make him great. But then again, being rich doesn't hurt, does it? Now, I think the Bible always does deal with money. Never makes a hero out of the rich, nor does it call the rich villains. It's neither moral or unmoral. See, it's how the wealth is used. And you take a look around right now and how is the wealth used? Oh, there is a lot of lack when it comes to people of position. When it comes to people of power. When we look at that right now, we look at this story right now and we say, hey, how is the wealth being used? Well, the fact that Joseph was rich simply means he had a larger capacity to do hurt or help to the poor. He had power. Money brings you power. He had authority. He could manipulate one way or the other. But also, Joseph was a man of position. He had social position. He had political position. He was what we call an aristocrat, a blue blood. Also, the Bible says he was a member of the council. He was part of the court before which Jesus was tried. Now, this doesn't make in itself a man great, just like money doesn't. I think many have succeeded in winning big positions, but they're never really made great in themselves. Look at all the governors that we've had. Look at the presidents that we have. Which ones do you remember? Lincoln, Washington. I mean, we're talking a lot of presidents. So in that they gain that position, in itself doesn't make them great. It's what they do that makes them great. And so position then is not the, I think, of necessity, a mark of worth. But it can be an instrument of power, like money is. Money talks. And I said last week, if you look real close at, for any period of time, keep looking right at that dollar bill or that ten spot, you'll see the lips move on there. Money talks. And so Joseph, therefore, because of his wealth and his position, could help or hurt beyond the ordinary because he had the power. He could make things happen. That's kind of spooky when you look at people that can make things happen. And what's spookier, if there is such a word, but you know what I mean. What's spookier is someone that does have that power and doesn't use it in the right direction. That's scary. That's pitiful, but it's scary. Next, the Bible says that Joseph was a man of character, a good and upright man. And so then, as a good and upright man, we would count on him being rich to be a good steward. Isn't that right? And also, since he was a good man, we believe he would use every opportunity to serve, every opportunity to serve to the very nth degree. Isn't that the way it should be? If a person's a Christian, they have that position and that political power and pull, that wealth, that respect, shouldn't they be read out in the open? Isn't that the way it should be? Well, you know, it's one of our curses here in this country. We often elect self-serving, crooked men into office. It probably takes 10 or 15 million just to get a guy going so he can get into office. When they get in there, they cause more harm than they do good. They don't represent. And I'll say this. Here on the north side, we are very poorly represented. Not pointing my finger at anybody, because there's a lot of people that right now could do a lot. And I'm not just talking about council members. I'm talking about there's a lot of people in position of power that are letting things go downhill. Christians. Say amen, somebody. You know, we can't judge the world, for they're already under judgment. We can say a little bit about the body of Christ. We need to change. We need to see that there is a need out there, and our biggest need is to meet that need. When we do that, we meet our need. How many agree with that? I mean, that's the way I feel about it. I mean, there are men of social position and wealth who misuse the office. Have you ever been around somebody who has a position and doesn't have the wealth, and they can make it meaner than hell itself for you because they're in some kind of a government position? You have to go get your okay from them. Somewhere along that line, there is some under-the-table things happening. Say amen, somebody. And so they, by that position, can make your life very miserable, because either they're saying too much or they're not saying anything. They misuse that power. But also, I believe Joseph believed in a brighter day to come. He believed that the kingdom was around. And finally, best of all, Joseph was a disciple. One day he came face to face with Jesus Christ through one meeting or another. He accepted him as his Lord and Savior. Oh, he was touched. But then again, in spite of all the splendid qualities that Joseph had, one very glaring defect was evident. Oh, he was a friend, but not one I would really choose for myself. Not one I would really choose for the Lord. And though a disciple, his discipleship is, like many of ours, very faulty. I think we all can relate with him here. He lacked courage. He couldn't openly confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Oh, probably if he met Jesus face to face, he'd in a nervous way say, "Hi, Lord, how are you?" and so on. "Oh, gosh, what time is it? What? Oh, say, I've got to run." You ever been around someone that's embarrassed to have you around because you are a Christian? Well, it isn't you that they're embarrassed. It's Christ in you. They're afraid you might say something to embarrass them about the kingdom of God. What yet? The Bible says he was a disciple. And if we say there is no such thing, we are faulty. I remember back when Elijah thought he was alone, and God said there are about 7,000 knees in Israel who have not bowed to Baal. Well, see, there was a whole lot of silent ones around. Nobody would have known it. Yeah, there's a lot of them. They haven't bowed to Baal yet, but they really haven't lifted their arms up to praise me. But they're there. They're there someplace. They're in a closet. Well, I think we have all known a few of those along the way that are silent. How many have known somebody that's a very silent Christian? Once in a while over coffee, they'll tell you, "Oh, I love the Lord." And then look from side to side, see if anybody heard it. Probably they never go to church, but they love the Lord. But I think they're scarce, aren't they? I don't think there are a whole lot of those secret disciples. It's pretty hard to be a secret disciple. And furthermore, we are sure that this type of discipleship is neither satisfies God or man. I remember some boys years ago, and I dealt with a lot of humor, Barb, when I was dealing with all these teenagers on a couple of nights a week, and the parents, like 500. And a couple of boys were going down an aisle in Cub Market or some supermarket. And they seen me and they duck run. And they were praising God just the night before. So I ran down past the tissue and down in through the corn and around. And I caught them. I said, "Hey, next time you get embarrassed to see me, I'm going to walk up right behind you and yell, 'Praise the Lord!'" Believe me, every time they saw me after that, they just they came right over to me. I think that's true because a secret disciple, you see, I think it greatly increases the difficulties in being a Christian. I mean, it's hard being a secret disciple. And yet, there's a lot of Christians, I think, that suffer that affliction in one way or another. I think it's to be a Christian the very hardest way to be secret about it. Well, number one, it's a constant embarrassment. It's half smiles when someone has a dirty joke. You don't want to laugh, but you... Huh? It's turning the head at every doctrine, no matter what it is. It's praying with your eyes open. Lord, thank you for this pie. It's trying to fit into a puzzle that you can't fit into, huh? You're square to the world. You're trying to fit into these round holes. It's reading the smallest Bible known to man so no one will catch you. So they won't call you the walking, talking epistle known and read of all men. You've got the little Bible. Sitting in the restroom, all nervous. Huh? I hear now that they have computer chips. It's got the whole Bible on it. That should be a real good thing for these secret people. It's saying, praise the Lord, with your teeth clenched together. Praise the Lord. Praise Him. Praise Him. With your hands all sweaty and you're all nervous. This keeps us in sort of a constant conflict. Well, there is conflict of interest, isn't there? What are you interested in? People's opinions or God's? I think to confess with your mouth releases you. It makes your position that much easier. It's like confessing something when you're a child, you've done something wrong, and you tell your mom or your dad, then it's over. Whew. You almost say, give me a spanking, I deserve it. Then it's over, and then you feel good about everything. Oh, I feel better, I was punished for it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You walk away with a burnt bottom. Oh, it's so much better to be up front and out in the open with it. It's a release. It's good to get it off your chest. That's like you come to the Lord. Lord, I'm a sinner. You confess it. And then you believe it in your heart because it came out of your mouth. And you're saved by that. And every day that you magnify the Lord, and I'm not saying you stand on a table in a cafe and say, have you all prayed in here? Did you ask God to bless your food? I didn't say that. But if the opportunity avails itself, if there is a need out there, don't forget to mention Jesus Christ. Are you hearing this? See, we would make one victorious entrance and one victorious fight instead of a whole little skirmishes, a lot of skirmishes, if we just openly say, I'm a Christian, this is what I believe. And put all your, the world says, cards on the table. But not only did it increase his difficulties, it greatly increased the dangers of failure. He couldn't excel, don't you see, without being exposed. How do you think you grow? You grow by giving up. The more you give out, freely, freely I've given to you, freely give it away. Whatever that you plant, 30, 60, 90 come back to you. What is that talking about? It's talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's talking about the love and the mercy and the forgiveness that God has given us. And that's why I say, right in the middle of all this, the damnable things that's going on, and I don't care what anybody does, there's got to be that mercy and that forgiveness there because that's your character. Isn't that right? Maybe I've read this wrong. I will be merciful to those that show mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers. How many are hearing this today? And if the world ever needed anything right now, it needs forgiveness. It needs mercy, it needs understanding, it needs tender, loving care. And we're the ones that got the goods. And what do we get? We get just that much back, coming back to us in satisfaction. Anytime you confess the Word of God to someone else, I'm not talking in a dictatorial sense, not talking from the legal, long, nasty fingernail pointed out there by some snidely preacher. I'm talking about giving it to the people in the spirit of understanding. We need to make an out-and-out commitment. See, because in choosing to be a secret disciple, Joseph chose the hard way. The very hardest way. It always ends up at the dump or the junkyard. And of course, there are those that succeed, but I think for every one that succeeds, there are thousands that never make it. That'd be like being a secret, say you were selling vacuum cleaners and you wanted to be secret about it, huh? And so you had a little box, you put this sweeper in, then you ring the bell, see, and you go over the bell. And, what are you here for? Are you a vacuum cleaner salesman? Shh. Huh? I mean, when the world has something to sell, they don't do it secretly. Isn't that right? Dick, when you go on your job, could you do it as a secret agent? Huh? No, they got it right on the side of your truck. Everybody knows what you do. Huh? You can't be a pilot secretly. You have to put on your thing and the goggles or whatever you wear there, and you know, people know what you do. Right? You know, wait till 4 o'clock in the morning, say, okay, come on, hurry up, get on the plane, get on! No. But isn't it strange that we do a lot of things so secretly that heaven doesn't even know that we're Christians? Well, the reasons are obvious, aren't they? The best defense we have is attack. Can you imagine a person being a secret boxer? Isn't this what we call the good fight? Can you imagine a person being a secret boxer? Sure, I'll get in the ring, but I'll wear my street clothes. That'll throw them off. I'll just act like I'm checking out the ring. And all these people are watching. I'll wear mittens instead of boxing gloves. I won't train in the gym. That'd be too obvious. When I meet, Mike Tyson at Madison Square Garden, I'll simply ask him a question like, what's the quickest way out of here? Of course, that will be Joseph's mistake, won't it? It's no secret what Mike Tyson does. He takes people out. He's definitely committed. He's always up front. It's up front, in the middle, in the back page of the Minneapolis Tribune. It's on TV and radio and by word of mouth. Joe, I am going to take you out. See, the world doesn't bother with that. They are going to take you out. And so as a Christian, when you're fighting a good fight and you get into the arena, you have to be up front. This one thing I do. We war not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and spiritual and high and spiritual places. This is what we do. You don't like it? That we have a few that fall, we don't shoot them in the head, we pick them up. We have some that falter, we have some that slip back into different sins, but that doesn't matter. They're saved and we help pull them up again. And how dare us call ourselves a family of God if we do anything else, if we join the world? Say amen, somebody. I mean, if we're going to be a Christians, why not be Christians all the way? Why just go halfway at it? Why not? Why mince words? Hey, everybody, you Christians listening to this, you are all sinners saved by grace. When you get to heaven, if you can't admit you're a sinner, you won't make it in, because that's the first thing you have to be, as a sinner, saved by grace. Not giving you license to sin, I'm just telling you that's where you're at. And you're worse than nothing if you can't forgive. Worse than nothing than if you're a secret, if you're in the secret society. And we sing that song, it is no secret what God can do. What he does for others, he'll do for you. Would you sing that out loud? Would you? If you were asked to, if the Lord asked you to, right in your shop. Okay, Lord. It is no secret what God can do. Huh? What he's done for others, he'll do for you. Oh, it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. Huh? That'd be pretty embarrassing, wouldn't it? Well, believe me, if the Lord put it on my heart, I'd do it. I'm past being a wimp, hey, I'm not going to be intimidated ever again. Say amen, somebody. Don't you every once in a while just get tired of wimping out? I do. I'm sick of wimping out. Like I said, people like Mike Tyson and those people like that, they're up front. No, see, when I give my confession, when I have inner resolve, I gain inner strength. You start to feel good about yourself. You get an inner resolve. You feel power coming in. And you confess Jesus Christ as Lord, and you do it in actions. I'm not talking about all these meetings. God, they got so many meetings to go to. I'm talking about doing it in a realistic way. When you're, hey, how about being positive and growing instead of being negative and shrinking? I'm not talking about, you know, what is that? They got this positive kind of a thing on. I'm talking about being positive in God. If my attitude, in other words, is no one will know, what good am I? I destroy myself. I weaken myself. I cause shipwreck in my own faith. And then, yet, Joseph increased his failure in another way. He couldn't grow. When we continually dodge the issues, when we continually dodge the difficulties, we lessen our strength. Do you know how hard it is to deny something all the time? You wear yourself out. Do you know how hard it is all day to pretend? And this one person comes and you're that way. And that person comes and you're another way. And you agree with this one and you agree with that one. Man, that's a lot of work, isn't it? Someone comes up and they say, well, you know what I found out, Ron? Don't you think this is true? I mean, you know, and we're so easily intimidated. And I'll just use you, Ron, because you're sitting here. And then you're supposed to just stand there, yeah, I guess you're right. I never thought of it that way. And another guy comes around with this exact opposite. Well, yeah, that's another way of looking at it. Yeah, I guess you're right. Huh? A lot of us do it. We don't want to make any waves. Could get fired for making waves, you know. Don't want to get fired, right? Don't worry about it. They'll lay you off pretty soon anyway. Everybody's going to be laid off. Tell you one thing, there's no blue collars anymore. It's frayed collars and white collars. There's rich and poor, and that's what it's coming down to. Come on now. Frayed collars and white collars. No blue collars anymore. Where have all the blue collars gone? Long time they've been gone. Japan makes all the parts, you know. That's where they all go. Oh, but see, we don't want to say anything, do we? No. We're from the secret society of Christians. No. Mum's the word. Oh, you know, if I was ministering out in the suburbs, they would have kicked me out of there a long time ago. Get that guy out of here. Take a look around. They got robots that are taking your places. They don't use robots when you go to make them payments at the bank, though, do they? Come on now. On this jobs program that we were going to start, that's another story. I won't even go into it. Take me hours. Hours and hours and hours. Oh, I ain't done with it yet, though. No. I'm going to mouth off a lot more. See, if you don't mouth off, you can't grow. You can't go any place by just being quiet, by waiting for someone to accept you. By what authority and by what right are you holding up this license? They're just asking you a question. Don't turn all red in the face with your veins popping out like some kind of a Frankenstein. Answer the question, man. You hearing this? But, of course, we don't talk that way, do we? I do. Why? Because there's a whole lot of people that need someone to talk that way. Vipers. I remember reading about Samson. You remember when he went out and a lion got in his way? And he goes over and I don't know what how he killed it, but I didn't, you know, dun ta da dun ta da dun ta dun ta dun ta. I don't know if he swung it around by the tail or what. But anyway, he killed it. He had two choices, either to run or to kill that lion. And he stood there and he did the fight and he killed it. That isn't the end of the story, though. Sometime later, he's walking down the same path and he starts looking around for this lion. And over there in the weeds, there it was. And it seems like bees had made their little home there, their little nest there. And it says that he came away with his hands full of honey. Does that mean that the strength of every foe we meet and overcome has a way of entering into us? Huh? When we stand and we fight and we have a resolve and we beat that thing and we don't wimp out on it and we're not overcome but we're overcomers, does that mean that we gain that much strength? I think so. Here we have Joseph. He missed all the honey. All the honey by dodging the lion. And so he weakened himself and increased his chances for failure. Also, he decreased himself also in his usefulness. You can't use somebody When they don't want to be used, when they want to be in secret, when they want to be in hiding, when they're continually, constantly, and always down. Am I blue? Am I blue? Huh? You'd be too. You'd be too. Huh? Huh? Why are we so blue all the time? Because we're in the red? No. Because we aren't doing anything. We're too secretive. We don't want anybody to know about what's happening, right? Isn't that right? Oh, he was of some service to the master, but nothing like he could have been. Nothing like he could have been, I said. We're all of some service, but nothing like we could be. Huh? Think about it. If every Christian put all their heart and their mind and their soul into making things work, oh my. What a victory. Talk about scraping the honey out of the lion. Woof. The Bible says that when Jesus was before the council, Joseph did not concur. I disagree. Well, whoop-de-doo. I don't concur. Why? I just don't concur. And he tried to tell himself, oh, that's enough. But you know, lying to ourselves, it never works. And as Jesus, God, was led away to Calvary, he told himself over and over, it was not by my vote. He didn't concur for fear of the Jews. Doesn't that sound a lot like us? Can we relate? Oh, yes, we can. People, do you know there are silences that are as damning as the loudest of lies? When you don't say anything? I think the body of Christ is good at that. Silence. Well, if you can't say something good, don't say nothing at all. But they don't even bother to say anything good. We can see people in the tightest fixes, but we don't want to get involved. We don't want to make waves. We don't want to put ourselves in the position of someone looking at us. Well, maybe they'll get to looking at me. And you know, as the end comes, it's going to get tougher and tougher and tougher. There's going to be more and more Christians going into hiding, isn't there? Not by my vote. I say this in closing, being down here in the midst of all this poverty and total neglect. And I had some 90 beautiful people. I had 160 people that were promised jobs. And I had 90 people down here with all of the W-4 forms filled out. All of the applications filled out, going to a very reputable company, and then 2 hours before I'm to announce to these people when to get their buses and when to get their lunches and all that, a man comes down and says, well, I've decided to go with someone else. Well, believe me, when I took them three people and out for their steak dinner out there, I wasn't very quiet. Maybe they'll remember me at that cafe, I don't know. I wasn't nasty, but I wasn't quiet. How many are hearing this word today? Because somebody's got to say something somewhere along the line, doesn't it? No, he was silent. You know what? When you're silent, it's damning. Ooh, okay.
Okay, Mr. Plant Manager, I understand. That's the way it works. Then I believe Florida's got something better for us. It's very understandable it happens. That's the way it is nowadays, isn't it? The end is coming.
I felt like saying, brother, your end is coming, tipping that table upside down. I didn't do it. Huh? No, there's got to be an end to that kind of treatment. Period. Well, if I read my Bible right, isn't that what the Lord said? No, I think right now it's damning for us to just be silent when we have God's own poor people and they need jobs. I think we need to become a voice of defense, an advocate. I think we need to cry out against the injustices. I think we need to yell out, we need the jobs right now. We want them down here, right over here, up 55 little ways out here in Industrial Park. We would so desire that you would put a plan in there and give us some of those government contracts that are out there, and we'll make toilet seats, not for $600, but $400 a piece. We'll cut the cost. We'll get them handheld communicators, which turned out they were $90 a piece that were on handheld communicators, were pencils. Yeah, bring them right over here. We can do the job. I think we need to challenge people instead of just being the secret society. I think it's damning when we're in silence all the time. It'll do people no good if you're a secret agent. Bible tells us not to hide our lights under a bushel basket. You know, it's dangerous underneath that bushel basket. You could get a real good look at yourself. You could die of fright. But suppose Joseph, on the other hand, would have taken the other position. One that he grew in by constant confession that Jesus is Lord. That he could have said something like this, gentlemen, you are wrong. You are totally wrong. This man Jesus is the Lord. He is God. Do you hear me? Am I making myself crystal clear? Read your Bibles. He is the one we have waited for. He has arrived. Do you think that would have made Jesus joyful? See, but he missed his usefulness. So in spite of his many fine qualities, we are disappointed by Joseph. But in the end, this good man, the Bible says, saw the error of his ways and came to confess Christ before the world. How did he do it? It says in the Bible that he plucked up courage, the record says, to go to Pilate and ask for the body of Jesus. That took some kind of guts. Soon everybody in Jerusalem knew of Joseph's confession. Some said, I knew it all along. I expected it. I knew he was that type of person. Some were grieved. Some were angered. Some were shocked. Some rejoiced. Some congratulated him. But you know, when the congratulations came, he could never accept them without a little bit of a pang of stab of pain there. True, he had given Jesus a beautiful tomb, but then again, it was a tomb, wasn't it? Oh, isn't that like we are so many times? Isn't this story so very human? Very much like our very own. Often we must lose before we appreciate, and sometimes we send the sweetest flowers to those who can no longer smell them. We speak the kindest words of those who can no longer hear. You know, this morning, right outside this door here, there were little three-year-old kids, and they were banging so loud on the door that he said, these kids won't go away. I bet you didn't know, Wayne, how big they were, did you? They were only 3 years old, and they were coming up, and they said, "Pastor, we want something to eat." God, how about it, folks? I'm for one, I'm tired of being silent. I'm going to be silent no more. I'm going to be Paul Tyson. Hey, I'm going to knock you out. Now, our power comes through surrender and receptivity to God. And I think that's cultivated by a very deliberate intention. Power doesn't just happen, you know. It comes as a continuous result of careful planning. And I think we need to make our plans right now. You want to have any kind of power, folks, you got to make your plans. You got to get into the Word of God. You got to read it like it says right in here, okay? Also, it says in the Bible, with the planting comes a pruning. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. That's out of John 15:2. For sure, our ministry right now is bearing a lot of fruit. You know what's going to happen for bearing fruit? It's going to be pruned a whole lot more. They haven't seen nothing yet. It's going to prune. God's going to prune down. You know, there's no other trees around. He's going to prune the ones that are fruitful. Now the religious leaders, it says in the Bible, tempted Jesus to speak of many things, and he refused. He kept to one thing, the glorious gospel. He was not a purveyor of many nice ideas, but a bearer of good news. He left his mark, and I think a lot of us leave but a blur. He cut out the good to make it better, and he cut out the better to make it best. Let's decide what's best right now today, and prune everything that is to that end, to that purpose. I'd have to say right now, our main need right down here is to see Jesus in action, and I'm talking about getting jobs for people. Why are people poor? They don't have jobs. Why are people hungry? They don't have jobs. Why are people homeless, and why are people uneducated? They don't have no jobs. What a wonderful opportunity now when everybody's getting locked up for taking drugs or selling drugs or whatever, and we right now have the answer, but we're too secret. Now let's go carefully about this. They're all locked up. What should we do? I don't know. I don't know. Huh? And just get all kind of shy and pukey? No, we need to reach out right now for help from any interested party. You know why I say that? I've come to believe that anyone that is interested in this work down here is sent from God. And that many more are but secret admirers. No more. There's a lot of secret admirers. Oh, yes, we've seen the work on TV. Seems like we see you on TV and your ministry on TV. And we hear it on the radio all the time. And we listen. We do. Yes, we do. Oh, can you excuse me? I see one of my friends coming. Huh? Ah, God. Say amen, somebody. Oh, hey. I don't care if people like this kind of preacher or not. They listen or not. I know you do because you come back. But I'm talking about, I don't care if they like it. I don't care if they like it. They don't like anything. For sure they don't like poor people. Oh, Pastor. We're so glad we're able to send our youth down there to pack those groceries. And while they're down there, Pastor, we want you to show them and to minister them about the poor because they've got it so nice. They need to know what Mommy and Daddy have done for them and to appreciate us. That's what they really say. And so I'm supposed to horsewhip. Gah! Over there! Gah! Huh? And the kids are beautiful. The kids are just great. Okay, all right. Yes, sir. I hear the command and I obey. And they pack these bags up. And, oh, man, they're just great. Huh? They haven't grown into nerds yet. Huh? And then you write a letter. Would you like to give? And I thought this letter will have some effect on all these churches. And we sent out like 20 letters of different groups come down here all the time and bring all these kids down. You know, sometimes it isn't really all that cost effective because they're only here an hour and 15 minutes and zing, 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 zing. You got to hurry up and you got to be here late and all that. But they do a fantastic job nevertheless because I know how to get the work out of people when they're here. It's hard to get that work out of when you only got an hour and 15 minutes, but I do it. But then you send a letter out like this, see? Dear Pastor, for the last year you've been sending your youth down here from your church of some 2,500 to 3,500 members. Now I really need your help down here because it seems like nobody wants to support this ministry. So I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a little rundown on what we do here. For $100 a month, not out of you, but out of the whole body that goes to that church, for $100 a month, you can feed 40 families. Grocery bags once a month. You can be on three giveaways that are 5,000, 5,000, and 5,000, which is Easter and Thanksgiving and Christmas. You can also be part of the ministry that goes up and feeds 1,000 up on North Minneapolis, and then again you can go to St. Paul, and the many numerous things that we do out in the streets, and also the feeding of a lot of people down here at the mission, and free clothing. Plus, we'll put on the bag that you donated, that you're part of this, for $100 a month. Will you do it? Ring, hello, Pastor, I just got your letter in the mail. Yeah. Listen, I hope you understand. The budget is full for this year. Could you call us back next August? Oh, yeah. We'll call you back next August. Sure, that's no problem. I'll call you back. Yeah, okay. Mark them off. Hey, folks, we're talking cost-effective. Aren't we? Isn't that cost effective for $100 a month for a whole congregation? Hey, the janitor picks up more than that off their floors. I'll bet right now that more than 2,500 people there, I bet there's more gum wrappers and sunflower seeds. $100 worth every that the. Oh, I clean up these sunflower seeds. I bet there's that much. Now, isn't that a shame? Would you call this a secret? It's a secret. I'm writing a letter right now to the government. I'm going to ask for foreign aid. Yeah, everybody else gets it. Hey, we're a foreign country down here. This is a foreign country. Have you noticed when they come in with their cameras and like that? It's like it's a foreign country. Here's the people coming to get their groceries. Huh? Here's a person wearing a new coat out. And they put the coat on and they scan down and there's no shoes. Hey, you people that are involved, don't get secret on me now. Don't get secret on me. God, we don't need any more secret Christians. Huh? Hey, I mean what I say, and I say what I mean. Honest to God, I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to do what the Lord commands us to do, just to call it the way it is out there. People need to be, what do they call it? Provoke one another. So you go into the church, and you provoke them. Pastor, got any money? You provoke them. No, really, do you have any money in this church? Whoa, this is a nice, woo. Do you have any money? 1, 2, 3, 4, 18 Cadillacs in a row. Woo. Can I ask you again, is there any money in this church? Can you give us $100 a month? Do you think that's wrong? I don't think it's wrong. Bible says to provoke one another to good works. Now, granted this, that $100 is nothing in today's economy. But if the whole body of Christ fell into that thing, what a marvelous work we could do, right? If everybody had a heart to do it. Gee, it's hard to find people that want to do anything nowadays, see? I don't want to do it. I don't want to. I don't want to, huh? Well, that's the end of my message. Before I get into another one, I'm going to close. Who's going to sing today? Oh, and by the way, is there anyone here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior?